Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know it's a striking image, the one on the front of your service folders today. It's not meant to cause you grief. It's not meant to make you afraid. It's simply meant to picture the reality that demons are real. They don't appear as snakes or dragons or as horned goats with a devil's tail. But that doesn't make them any less real. Demons are real, they are powerful, and they are evil. Now, as if people weren't evil enough on our own. Man, by birth, is so corrupt that he is capable of all the wickedness that goes on around us in this world. We don't really need any help to come up with it. We don't need any help to self-destruct, given the state of our sinful nature that we inherit. But add to that, those powerful spirit creatures that we call demons, led by the chief demon, God's enemy, the devil, the enemy of all God's people, how can God's children possibly survive? They almost didn't survive, or at least it appeared that they wouldn't survive back at the time of Israel, when Israel was enslaved and mistreated by the Egyptians at the time of Moses. How could they possibly fight against the king of Egypt with all of his hosts and armies, with all of his power and authority? But add to that the fact that he had demons on his side. Because behind every idol, there is a demon. Paul talks about that in his first letter to the Corinthians. Egypt was full of idols and idol worship. But not only that, Pharaoh had magicians who were able to do supernatural things by their secret arts. Now, there's only two possible sources of supernatural happenings. Either it's God or it's the devil. And the magicians of Pharaoh were able to do some miracles when Moses first came to them in the name of the Lord to rescue Israel out of slavery. He threw down his staff and it became a snake. They did too, and so did theirs. The first two plagues that God brought against Egypt through Moses, turning water into blood, bringing up a plague of frogs on the whole land of Egypt, the magicians were able to do that too. There were demons at work in Egypt. There were demons at work at the time of Jesus. There were demons at work behind the scenes, stirring up such a powerful opposition to Jesus, such anger and bitterness that people, well, you know, put him to death because of it. Such a powerful hold the demons had on people that if they weren't despairing of all hope of God, then they were putting their hope in a false comfort and a false hope of the law of Moses as their way to salvation. And there were also demons afflicting people physically at the time of Jesus. There are demons at work today too. Make no mistake. The demons are right now trying to bring as much of hell up onto this earth as they possibly can. And that's not only in the violence and the immorality that is rampant among us in our society. The immorality that is almost complete in the world in which we live. Not only there. It's no victory for the demons when they can entice unbelievers to act like unbelievers. Think about that. It's no triumph for the demons to get unbelievers to act like unbelievers. Because every unbeliever, everyone who does not rely on Christ for salvation, is still a part of Satan's kingdom, is just as much Satan's now as they were when they were born. But the demons score a great victory when they can entice Christians to act like sons of the devil. The demons would have no one imitating God, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, acting like dearly beloved children of the Heavenly Father. The demons would have no one walking in love, as Paul says to the Ephesians. Instead, there are demons at work today targeting Christians in all kinds of ways, confusing doctrine beyond recognition in some places, but always confusing the doctrine of Christ. Always inciting Christians to work against one another, to become angry with one another, to bring all sorts of discord and strife into our midst. To lead Christians back into those sins, those willful, those intentional sins against God with which faith cannot survive, with which faith cannot stand, and bring Christians back out of God's kingdom into the kingdom of the devil. There are demons at work today. Pay attention to the gospel. You need it. I need it. Only Jesus can help against the demons. That was true at the time of Pharaoh and Moses when Israel was held captive there, because even though the demons were able to help the magicians for a while, it didn't last for long. By the third plague, the third of ten that God sent against Egypt, the magicians couldn't reproduce the plagues anymore. So that they finally had to admit to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Moses had someone more powerful than the magicians did, supporting, helping him. The same was true at the time of Jesus. The demons seemed to be winning, seemed to have so much control over the people of Israel that no one would believe in Christ, that everyone would either be depending on the law with self-righteousness or despairing of all hope from God. They seemed to have so much control at the time of Jesus that people were possessed and tormented physically. In the case of our gospel, the man was mute. And Matthew tells us, he talks about the same thing. Matthew tells us he was also blind. So blind and mute, unable to speak, held captive by this demon. Until Jesus came and started doing what no one else was able to do, freeing people from demonic control, casting out one demon after another. Jesus never met a demon that he couldn't get rid of with a single word. That amazed some of the people. Finally, someone has come who is stronger than the devil. Finally, someone has come who is able to control these spirits that torment us. But others were unconvinced that this was the power of God, not because it wasn't amazing, but because that would have meant that Jesus' message came from God too, and they were unwilling to accept it. They were unwilling to believe it. They didn't want Jesus' message that he came from God to be the Savior of sinners, both because they didn't want to admit that they were sinners and because that they didn't want to admit that Jesus could save them. And so instead of being amazed that God had finally come to help his people, instead of receiving this gift that Jesus came to bring, they fought. And they accused Jesus of being in cahoots with Beelzebul or Beelzebub, the chief fly among flies. Kind of a Jewish word, not really a biblical word from the Old Testament, but a Jewish word of ridicule of the devil, as if as if the devil and his demons were nothing but flies. But Satan doesn't cast out Satan, Jesus showed them. If the devil's kingdom were divided against itself, if Satan were fighting against demons, his own demons, then his house couldn't possibly stand. It would self-destruct all on its own. And there would be no need at all for God to send a Savior, for God to send a Christ to fight against the devil, to crush his head. He would crush his own head. But Satan is not divided against Satan, Jesus says. And man cannot save himself out of the devil's kingdom and the devil's power. The demons are part of a very powerful kingdom, a strong kingdom that you and all your willpower can't possibly escape from. That you, with all your good deeds and your attempts to please God, cannot possibly extricate you from. The devil is that powerful of an enemy that all human beings are born into his kingdom and trapped there, unless someone stronger comes along who is able to go into that strong man's palace and fight against all of his powerful weapons and armor and defeat him. Then there could be hope and a future in God's kingdom. And so Jesus says, if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The finger of God showed itself in Egypt with Moses and rescued the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. The finger of God showed itself again in Jesus as he rescued people, rescued sinners from Satan's power and Satan's kingdom. He did that visibly by saving people from the physical torments of Satan to show that also spiritually, Jesus was the one who casts out the devil. Jesus is the one who helps against the demons. You want to be on the right side in this conflict. There's no middle road. There's no fence to sit on. Jesus says, whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever is not helped by him into his kingdom is against him in the devil's kingdom. While the devil's kingdom appears to prosper here on earth, it almost at times seems like the place to be. When Christ is revealed, when he comes again, it will also be revealed who the sons of the devil's kingdom were and who are the children of God in the kingdom of Christ. And all the apparent victories of the demons here on this earth will be shown to be completely defeated by Jesus. Now, to be with Jesus doesn't just mean to think nice thoughts about him sometimes. To be with Jesus means to hate sin. And his word calls on you, calls on all people to hate sin, because it's not a pleasant thing. It's not a okay thing. It's something that God hates so much. It's a lovelessness that God hates so much that we see his hatred of it on the cross. So he calls on all people to hate sin. He calls on people to believe in Jesus, to believe what he says, that you're a sinner who needs the help of the Son of God. No one else will do. You're a sinner who would be condemned but for the help of Jesus, who is more powerful than the demons, more powerful than sin, whose blood shed on the cross is the only thing that buys you back out of the devil's kingdom. And his blood is powerful enough and worth enough to buy back all people from the devil's kingdom, so that all who believe in Christ are saved eternally by him and brought out of the devil's kingdom. You have no strength. You're not supposed to have strength against the demons. But Jesus does. His strength is more than enough for you. Satan has a strong grip on the world, but the Son of God has defeated him and defeats him still by pulling people out of the devil's kingdom, by the price of his blood, by the strength of his own righteousness. That is enough to cover all people. The Son of God is powerful against all the demons. He entered the devil's stronghold and defeated him, so that all who trust in him are no longer condemned. That's you who trust in him. It's you here today who are no longer controlled by demons. That doesn't mean, however, that the demons don't target you. There's a difference. There's a difference from being controlled by the devil in his kingdom and from being molested by the devil from inside the kingdom of God. That's an important difference. It's the difference between death and life. Jesus redeemed you from the demons by his death and resurrection. He claimed you out of the devil's kingdom through holy baptism and faith in the Son of God. Because even though the gospel of Jesus has gone out, you still need him. You still need him because, as he shows in the gospel, when a demon is cast out, it leaves for a while and wanders about for a while. But when it finds no rest, it goes back to the house that it was cast out of. And if it finds a place for itself there, it invites more, even more wicked demons to come and join him in that house. Well, what is the solution? How can the children of God survive when demons are targeting us? Again, only Jesus can help against the demons. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Keep it. That doesn't mean obey it. It doesn't mean blessed are those who are no longer sinners. That's not what the word means. Who keep it, who keep the word of God in their hearts. You have the word of God preached to you. You had it preached to you at your baptism. You have it preached to you now. You have the word of God in your homes. You have the word of God placed on your tongue and poured down your throats. You have Christ himself. He is your strength now to help you against the demons who would rip you back out of God's kingdom. You have all the strength of the Son of God that you eat and drink in the sacrament. That's a lot of strength. That's a lot of power. Don't think for a minute you don't need it for a while. Don't think you can survive without it. Don't think that you can ward off the demons, because the devil, Peter says, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Understand that wherever there is a child of God, the devil is angry. Understand that wherever the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed, the forgiveness of sins for the sake of Christ Jesus. Understand that wherever the sacraments of Christ are administered in accordance with Christ's command, there are the demons knocking at the door. There are demons at work in every form of lovelessness, pitting Christians against one another. You think a church is a safe place? The movies are so ridiculous that way. They make the churches seem like places where the demons are barred from getting into the sacred ground at the door. I can't think of a more harmful comfort to give someone. The demons are not kept out at the church door so that everybody who comes inside the church building is unmolested. Wherever Christians are gathered together, there the devil is knocking at the door of each heart and among us together. Doesn't mean he can get in, but he's knocking. He wants to come back in. So understand what's going on in your life. or in the life of the church when we gather together as Christians, when it seems like everything else in your life is pushing the Word of God and prayer and godly living to the back burner or off the burner entirely. Understand what's going on when in the church divisions and discord erupt and anger and bitterness are allowed to fester and hard feelings are allowed to simmer. This shouldn't be surprising to us, as if this is a rare thing in the church of God for demons to be molesting us. It's what Jesus says happens. The Apostle Paul says, we are not unaware, we are not ignorant of the devil's schemes. We know that he works this way, that he incites Christians against one another to self-righteousness, to anger. So turn to Jesus for help. He's the only one who can help against the demons. Turn to him in repentance for yourself each day. Turn to his word. Turn to him in prayer and seek his help against the demons that attack our church and our homes and our lives as Christians. Turn to him in trust and trust in his power and his love. Trust. And then, as Paul says, walk in love, like your heavenly Father loves, even if your fellow Christian doesn't love you back in the same way. That's how God loves, isn't it? He doesn't love people who love him back and treat him the way he should be treated. So you too, walk as children of your heavenly Father. Walk as children of the light, as Paul says you are. By faith in Christ. There's no place for anger and bitterness, for sexual immorality and impurity among the saints of God. But the devil will always be trying to reintroduce those things. Look to Christ and trust in him, because the demons are strong and powerful and relentless. But there is one who is more powerful than the demons. His name is Jesus Christ. He is strong, strong enough to help you, to make you safe and secure, until finally, when he returns, all the attacks will be ended, when he takes you to himself in heaven and the demons are gone for good. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.